We've been looking at some of the aspects of the most holy place of God and what it means to dwell in His presence, and you know how He wants us to experience all that He has made available to us. He has such wonderful, glorious things, not just in heaven. Sometimes we can think about that. Well, in heaven I can know and I'll experience all the good things that God has, but you know, on earth, He wants us to know the fullness. He wants us to be satisfied with serving Him and following Him. All the blessings that come from His sacrifice, the gift of His Spirit, He wants to give to us and experience now. And one of those blessings is the joy of the Lord. He wants us to experience the fullness of His joy as we dwell in His presence. Now, King David, he knew that this aspect of the presence of God very well. In Psalm 16, in verse 11, he declared this to the Lord. He said, You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. For all eternity we'll know them. All right, and so in one sense, he was looking at both places. In heaven, there's going to be eternal pleasures. But, you know, in his presence, as David spent time in the presence of the Lord, he knew the fullness of joy. And isn't that wonderful to know and to understand that God is calling us into a life of dwelling in his presence and experiencing his joy? Now, there are costs associated with that, right? With dwelling in the presence of God, there's the thought of holiness, obeying the truth, righteousness. But one of the benefits, one of the wonderful benefits of doing so is the fullness of joy. Because David says, in your presence, I don't just experience joy, I experience the fullness. The ultimate experience of joy in life comes from the presence of God. That word for fullness in the Hebrew, it carries the meaning of total satisfaction. Now, if you think about how, you know, at one point you are really hungry. I cannot wait until Thanksgiving meal. I've been saving myself. And after you meet that, after you eat that, you are full. Right? It's like, I don't think I should have another piece of turkey. Like, I'm done. But you're totally satisfied, right? You didn't walk away hungry because you're full. And that's that meaning that God is using here. He wants us to be full of joy, right? And in the sense that I'm so full of joy, I don't know if it's possible to be more joyful. That's what God wants to do in us. That's what he wants us to experience as we spend time in his presence and come to know him. He wants to bring us to a place of total satisfaction in his presence, experiencing his joy in our lives and in our hearts. Now, the world is also seeking satisfaction, aren't they? All right, they're seeking pleasures and, you know, feeling good in their hearts and so forth. But in one sense, they never find it because they can't find something that stays. Something that lasts, something that's eternal. And so they seek after these things that they think will satisfy them. They seek after relationships or money or success or fame or fill in the blank, whatever they're seeking for. There's a lot of things they're seeking for that it's hard to keep up with everything. But they find that they're never satisfied. They always got to come back and seek it again. Because what enjoyment they had from it quickly dissipated. The prophet Jeremiah described it as being like a broken cistern. Now, because the Israelites were a desert people and there wasn't much rain in the land, they had to dig these cisterns out of the rock in the ground, and they would channel it so that it would catch the rainwater that would come. You know, at the short times, the short seasons, in the year when it would rain. And so they wanted to catch that water and preserve it, because that would be what they would drink from as a family and feed their animals and so forth. In fact, it wasn't just that one person had a cistern, it was a community. So if the cistern failed, the whole community would be without water. And so here the Lord is using this illustration that Israel was seeking to be satisfied with these things, but it was like pouring things into a cistern in the ground, but it was cracked and water was leaking out. He said this in Jeremiah 2 and verse 13. He said, "My people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." Now, at this time, Israel was looking to other nations and kind of copying what they were doing, and they were taking their gods and setting them up as idols and serving them, and they were trying to fill up their lives with what they thought would bring them pleasure, fulfillment. Well, the nations of the earth are doing this. It must work. So let's do it too. But it turned them from the living God. And the Lord was trying to tell them, you've forsaken me, but you're also putting your trust in something that's going to leak away and be empty. And isn't it so true? You know, perhaps some of you can remember times, you know, before you were serving the Lord, and how you would seek things out that would give pleasure, but they did for a short period of time, sometimes just a day or an hour, and you'd have fun doing that, and then you'd go back to normal life, and you felt so empty. So what did you have to do? Keep seeking it. Keep finding something new and exciting to bring meaning or enjoyment to life, because you knew when that stopped, when the music stopped, you'd feel so empty. But then Christ came and filled us with something so real, something eternal, a joy and a satisfaction. I remember thinking that as a young man, after I really committed my life to the Lord, I started following Him, and I noticed something in me. I said, you know, I feel satisfied in a way I never did before. You know, I was always looking for as a young person, you know, not fully committed to following God. You know, I was looking for what's fun to do in youth group and different things and looking for this and that. But after I started following God, I noticed there wasn't that emptiness anymore. There wasn't that searching for something and never really finding it. Like thinking, oh, if I could only get this, and you get it, and then you're just looking at the next thing. Oh, okay, wait, if I can get that other thing. It's a broken cistern that just leaks out. We're never satisfied. But there's a joy and a satisfaction that comes when we follow Christ. I love seeing this in new believers. All right, when they come to the Lord and they have a new realization of the joy that they can experience. They're just the joy of discovering who He is and His plan for their lives. There's joy as soon as we enter the kingdom of God. You know, when you think about the tabernacle, you know, as soon as we enter the tabernacle, there is joy. We can see this in another verse of King David, and this is actually in Psalm 51, when David is speaking of returning to the Lord after he'd sinned with Bathsheba. You know, for many months, he tried to hide his sin. He didn't want anyone to find out. But when God confronted him through the prophet Nathan, David repented. He said, "Lord, I've sinned. I'm the one responsible for this." And he turned to God. That must have been a great time of agony, right? As he was under the conviction or the condemnation of his sin and the conviction of the Holy Spirit coming into his heart, and he was resisting that probably for many months. But when he came back to God, his cry was this. In Psalm 51 and verse 12, he said, "Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore my joy." You know, after David repented, all he wanted to do was to come back into the joy of knowing and serving his God. And he came back into that. And there's joy in just being faithful and serving God. There's satisfaction that we can only find in Him. But as we've seen in many of these other truths in the tabernacle and in the fullness of God, the farther you progress in the tabernacle, the greater the increase of that truth. And we see this with joy, because as we progress into the holy place, there's a greater love for the truth of the Lord, of feeding on the bread of life, and of being filled with the anointing of His Spirit. And when we do that, we can experience the oil of joy and gladness, right? Represented by the anointing and the Holy Spirit flowing through us. There's another Psalm of David, and he's speaking prophetically about the life of Christ here. In Psalm 45, verse 7, he said, now this is about Jesus, and he says, "You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your brethren." He's anointed you with the oil of gladness. That's a good anointing. That's a good anointing to have. But you know, as we move into that place of becoming young men and women in Christ, where we begin to develop a deep love for His Word, and He leads us to victory, where we start to overcome the wicked one in our lives, and He leads us from strength to strength and victory to victory, and as we meet Him at the altar of prayer, learning to seek His face, and we seek to be filled with the seven anointings of the Spirit of God, of wisdom and understanding and counsel and the fear of the Lord, then He begins to pour out the oil of joy into our lives, the oil of His Spirit, even above what we've known in the past. Maybe we've walked with Him for many years in the past, but He can meet with us in a new way and pour out a joy that we've never known before. Because the more we know Him, the more He wants to fill us. But we know from our studies, we don't stop at the holy place. There's something even greater. Because the ultimate joy is found as we progress into His presence. Fullness of joy is in the presence of God. Now David, again, knew this very well, and he understood this. And we can read Psalm 43, which is attributed to David. Psalm 43, verses 3 and 4 says, "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy." And David's one desire was to ascend the holy hill of the Lord and to come into His presence. Now, one thing we have to remember was that in David's reign, God's focus was no longer on the tabernacle that we study of Moses that was at Shiloh. But God allowed David to take the ark and bring it up and put it in a tent on Mount Zion. And David's delight was just to come into the presence of God and sit in His presence. We can understand that from Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 60. And it says, "So that God forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent that He had placed among men." Then verse 68 says, "But He chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which He loved." And we can read in the book of Samuel how, you know, David took the ark and he put it on Mount Zion. And we see David as a type of that New Testament believer, because the Lord allowed him to come in and sit before the ark, where previously it was only the high priest, and he didn't do that unless he had blood, and he came in trembling, right? Because he was coming into the presence of Almighty God. But God was using David to speak to us as an example and a type of what He wants to do in our lives, because David was a king, but he was doing things that only a priest could do. But that's what He's calling us, to serve Him as a king, to follow His commands, but to serve Him as a priest and come into His presence. And so God is speaking to us. He made a way available for us both to come in and experience His presence, to seek help in time of need, but also to become those who live and dwell in his presence. And so David's cry was, Lord, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me to your holy hill, because I will come to your altar with exceeding joy. The greatest joy of David's life was found just coming into the presence of God. We can see this in the lives of other great saints in Scripture, that the secret of their joy and their power with God was formed by just continually being in his presence. I don't know if you've noticed what Elijah says every once in a while. And he declared this several times in 1 Kings 17 and verse 1. Right, as he would be ministering, he would often say, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand. And he would say that many times. The Lord God, before whom I stand. Present tense. It was as if he was standing in the presence of God. That was his place. That's where he dwelt. That's where he lived. When he did things, it was in the presence of God. And I think was really the secret of his power. It's also one of the reasons, I believe, why he's going to be one of the two at the right hand of God. Right? We can read about him as one of the anointed ones in Zechariah chapter 4. But the secret to their power was the presence of God. But as we come back to that thought of the tabernacle, and we've mentioned that with many of these truths of the fullness of Christ, in order to enter into them, you have to pass through the veil. Right? To get into God's presence, the veil is there. Now, in one sense, Christ rent the veil. Right? He opened up the way so that we can come in. It's through his blood. But yet also, when we're talking about a life, living in his presence, experiencing the truths of this tabernacle, we realize there's times God calls us to experience the veil in our life. And we know that the veil means a death to ourself and a life, the life of Christ entering within us. Now, there's an aspect to the fullness of joy we have to understand. Isaiah 61 and verse 3, it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And the result is so that we can be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he can be glorified. I can say amen to the second part of this verse, but it's kind of hard to the first part, isn't it? Lord, give me your joy. Well, wait a minute. Joy for mourning. Praise for heaviness. They're the opposite. How can they even work together? Well, I still don't really know, but God can do something. You know, see, he's talking about doing a work of beauty being accomplished in our lives, and it's addressed to those who dwell in Zion. They've made their dwelling place in his presence. But notice what he says about joy, that joy is developed in the ashes, in the mourning. Now, we're talking about a specific joy. It's the fullness. It's the fullness of joy that can be found from the very presence of God. But it's often developed as we pass through a season of sorrow or difficulty. And you've probably heard the story of our founder, Dr. Bailey, and how God birthed a profound new joy in his life. And he said it was a joy that caused him to dance every day before the Lord. And you know, he was a man that was just always joyful. He had the joy of the Lord. But if you read his books and listen to his stories, you realize that it came from a certain point in his life, and it was at the death of his wife. And you say, whoa, how did that joy get birthed when his wife died? Well, it was the Lord's appointed time. He took Sister Bailey to heaven. And Pastor Bailey was left with such sorrow. I mean, because they had an incredibly close relationship. They'd ministered together all over the world for 35 years. And then the Lord said, I'm taking her to heaven. And I'm sure he was thinking, what do I do now? I'm alone. How am I going to continue ministering without my dear wife? But as he was facing that thought of continuing, and he felt such sorrow, well, he just went through the process of having the funeral and committing his wife, you know, and burying and so forth. And he said he had such sorrow in his heart. But one day after the funeral, as he was walking through that hotel lobby, he said he felt a shaft of light come down from heaven. And it felt as if his heavy garment of mourning and sorrow fell off him, and it was replaced with the abundance of joy. And the Lord spoke to him from Psalm 30, verses 11 through 12. He said, "You've turned for me my mourning into dancing, and you've put off my sackcloth, and you've clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee, and not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give thanks unto thee forever." And this is what he wrote. He said, "The Lord put this song in my heart, and I've been rejoicing in the Lord and literally dancing before him every day since this experience." God birthed something, a profound joy that he had, and he can impart to other people. But it was through that great sorrow. And so often the Lord will use very difficult experiences to perfect his work in our lives. He'll use the opposite to bring about his fruit. And he may take us through experiences of sorrow and mourning. But it's in those experiences, as we learn to lift up our eyes to the Lord and meet him, that he can exchange our sorrow for joy. And one of the fruits of the Spirit listed in Song of Solomon is camphire. And it's a plant that relates to the joy of the Lord. It speaks to us of it. And one of the qualities of this plant is that the leaves had to be dried out, and then they had to be crushed and pulverized, and they would be turned into a paste. And what they would do is they would apply it to their hair. And many ladies prized camphire in those days, you know, and they sought to beautify their hair, actually their hair, their nails, and their skin. I had to look this up, but that was their beauty product back in the day. Now, some things don't change. Ladies still prize beauty products and such. But, you know, this plant speaks to us that God birthed something beautiful in our hearts through that crushing, through that death, through that sorrow. And as we seek to dwell in the most holy place, God will take us through the veil, through those sorrowful experiences, those difficult experiences. But as we submit to the work of the cross in our lives, God produces something so beautiful in his sight. Sometimes we have to be reduced to ashes, but he can turn it into beauty. Now the joy, the fullness of joy, will be so powerful in our lives. We know this because Nehemiah told us so, right? He told the people, don't weep. But in Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, he says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." You know, it's his joy that will carry us through those times of difficulty when we're tired and weak. The joy of the Lord can become our strength. But we have to allow him to work within us, to increase our capacity. You know, maybe we've experienced the joy of the Lord in a measure, but he wants to enlarge us, increase us, so that we can be full and overflowing with his joy. You know, someone once had a vision of heaven, and they described it in this way. They said, "Everyone will have joy and will be fulfilled and satisfied, but their hearts will be like vessels. Some will have vessels like a little cup, and they'll fill their little cups. God will come and fill them with his pure love and joy and satisfaction. And they will experience it in a measure. But others who have allowed God, while they were on earth, to enlarge their capacity, Their vessels will be like swimming pools, and God will pour in. They will experience the fullness of His love, His joy, and satisfaction for all eternity. And that's the opportunity we have in this life to enlarge our heart, to enlarge our faith, allowing God to work these truths within us. And so let's ask the Lord, may I know and experience the fullness of your joy. Of course, we realize what we're asking, right? There might be some seasons of sorrow. Thank God it's not a life of sorrow, but seasons of sorrow. But yet we can have a wonderful expectation that God will take that experience and transform it. He'll turn it into His joy and His strength that will carry us through and cause us to overcome in every difficulty because we're living and dwelling in His presence. Father, we just thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You want to give us fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore in Your presence. And Lord, we just declare that's our desire. Lord, that's our heart. Lord, we want to know You in the fullness of what You want to do in our lives. Lord, we just open our hearts to You. Lord, give us grace to follow You, Lord, and to endure and to overcome, even to be willing to go through whatever seasons it would take to produce this beautiful fruit of joy within our lives. Oh, Lord, take our lives and do a beautiful work. Lord, we want Your joy. We want Your strength. Lord, we want to have a rejoicing spirit. Lord, we just pray You that, Lord, if we've experienced it in measure, would You enlarge it in us? Enlarge our vessels, O God, that we could experience more and more of Your joy, we pray. And we just thank You, Lord. We bless You and we worship You in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.